Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today are two guests. Dr. Olala, my co-host, is still away in the Philippines ministering there to a group of pastors, and I know that he is thankful for and continues to covet your prayers in this very important ministry opportunity the Lord has given him. But we're blessed today to be with Kevin Brownfield, evangelist for numbers of years and certainly no stranger to the program here, and Brother Sammy Fry. Sammy, you have been with us now for two broadcasts. What a blessing to have you on the show.
Well, it's been a blessing to be here. I sure appreciate Northland, appreciate you and Brother Kevin. Followed his ministry for many years, and thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, you're in a church, brother, and you've been a youth pastor there for 11 years, and I know you've been doing youth ministry, you know, even before then for, I think you said 20 years.
20 years.
And from what I can tell, the church that you're in seems to be a church of like heart and passion to the one that the Lord has allowed me the opportunity to shepherd at Brookside Baptist Church. And what a blessing, as we've been talking about really what the Lord has done in your life. You shared with us your testimony, and for those who are joining us perhaps for the first time, you may want to consider going on our website and downloading the program that preceded this one, where Brother Fry shared his testimony, how he came to know the Lord. And then the last time we were together, you talked about the need for discipleship, and that's a real burden for you.
It is, and really because of my experience, how I struggled when I came back from Texas and was saved, got back in a church that though there were some folks there who I know knew the Lord and I would say loved the Lord, there were also some there who didn't believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture, didn't believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. You know, the what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. It's all there in the Bible.
Say that again.
Hey, what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right.
So let me take off that for a moment here, and I know you've got a lot of things on your heart, and I want to make sure we give you time to say those things, but many of our listeners would be, especially if they've been recently saved or really haven't been discipled, as you're talking about, or if they know the Lord and the Spirit of God is moving in their heart, many of our listeners might be in churches where inspiration would not be an issue, where the pastors would hold to an inspired Bible, or they would be in a church where most of the major doctrines that you and I would hold would be acceptable. And yet there are things, major things in the environment that they are in religiously or in their church life that hinder their ability to grow. What would you say a person ought to look for in a church if they want to grow in that environment?
Well, I think the priority to me would be, in fact, when I finally left that one church and later was married and began to look for a church, I wanted to be in a church where they preached and taught the whole counsel of God and stood firmly on the Scriptures. That was the primary focus of their ministry, not entertainment, not activities or any of that, but the Word of God. That was the Walmart, if you will, of that ministry. Mm-hmm. And a pastor who preached that with a spirit of love and conviction. Mm-hmm. When I joined the church I'm in, we began to attend and then join. The pastor has been there over 20 years. He's a dear, godly, humble man who's one of my dearest friends, and he's been that. And also, I think it's important. There are a lot of different things going on in churches today. And my desire, as far as the church, is are they honoring the Lord Jesus Christ?
I think all of them would say they are. I mean, I think if you were sitting down with the pastors of all these churches, they would say they are. And I mean, I think just because a person says they are, and maybe even because they even believe they are, doesn't mean they are.
Well, I think you're right, but I think probably one of the things, because of my background, you know, I was in the entertainment music and involved in drama and things, I may be more sensitive than others to this entertainment aspect of church that I see going on in a lot of places.
No, I think you're right on, because I've had many, many conversations with people, and that your words are almost exactly what comes out of their mouth. You know, Pastor, I don't know, something's going on at the church where my wife and I have attended all of these years, and it took a turn, and now it just seems like it's more worldly, or it's more geared toward making people feel like they don't really have to change a whole lot. They're trying to be more friendly to the lost people.
Right.
Nothing wrong with being friendly. You know, we ought to be friendly. But I think there's a new, and the model I think that everybody's talking about is the seeker-sensitive model.
Right.
That so many churches are going to. And it grows a big church.
Because it dumbs down the gospel. And oftentimes, they normally go hand in hand because they want a commitment-less Christianity where little is expected and little You know the whole thing of how they try to funnel them into quote-unquote discipleship, but really the statistics prove that really often never happens. Because once they try to funnel them into that discipleship, mm-hmm. they kind of run off because the back door is just as big, if not bigger, than the front door in many of those settings because the people do not understand the high cost of real Christianity.
How did you say that, Sammy? You said people want to come in and they walk out unchanged.
Come as you are, leave as you came.
Come as you are,
leave as you came. Yes. And the issue so often that I hear is, well, I want to be comfortable in church. And my response is, well, you know, oftentimes when the Word of God is being preached in truth, it makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I want to go to a church where God is comfortable. Well, I want to be challenged to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I do not mean that we're talking here people that are unloving or unkind. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking
about... No, they're very kind people.
I'm talking about giving the gospel. And it just concerns me because... And I know there are many good people, I would say good people, people that love the Lord who really disagree with me on this. But I'm really concerned about what I perceive to be worldliness. I remember leading a young man to Christ, and the music is a real sensitive area and issue. But I'm just going to jump right in here because I think it is a powerful, powerful medium. You and I have talked about this mm-hmm. because, you know, we've worked through some mm-hmm. thoughts on this. But I had a friend of mine that went to a church. I later led him to Christ. He had a brain tumor. He was saved. And he told me his experience of going to church years ago. He said he went with his girlfriend. He was a teenager. And they had this music thing going in there. And he told me himself, this is a guy who saved, was talking from his lost experience. He told me he left that church that day and he was laughing. And I said, why were you laughing, Ricky? He said, because that's my music.
Hmm.
And what's amazing to me is how the lost seem to be able to see there ought to be a difference, but the saved or professing saved bring it just as close to the world as they can so people will be comfortable. But in that, you know, I see a problem. And again, my background is music. I know I'm sensitive to that area. I have to be careful in that area personally. But I see that so much of the music, and I play guitar now, so I deal with this on a personal, but I would rather not ever play guitar again than dishonor my Lord or offend a brother or sister mm-hmm. in Christ. If I go to a church and they're not comfortable with the guitar, it is no problem for me because the Word of God is the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I am not, that is not an issue at all to me. I understand and I respect that.
I think that, and Kevin, maybe you've talked to a lot of guys out there as an evangelist, and maybe you can kind of weigh in on this, but, you know, I have friends who are in the ministry who went this direction with their churches. And we've talked. And they're not trying to dishonor God, but they are driven, it seems to me, at least, and again, this is only experiential. I'm not speaking for all of the people that are in this, but the ones I've talked to seem to have gone this direction because they want to see lost people come so they can get saved. It seems like a very good motive. And yet, somehow the product that's coming out on the other end is, as you're describing, a product that comes in as they are and leaves as they came unchanged. And the preaching is kind of watered down to this feel good, you know, let me give you 7 steps to help you fix this in your life. The idea of really taking people to the text and committing to what we call expository preaching is gone. In fact, there's a new thing now. You can go on with the 40 Days of Purpose and Rick Warren model that a lot of churches are going to. You can actually go to a website and get his sermons that he preaches and re-preach them right to your people.
Unbelievable.
And people are doing that.
Well, you know, here's the thing that they're saying to you, and I have a friend who is involved in contemporary Christian music, and I respect him, I love him. We happen to disagree, agreeably, on some of these points. But when people say to me, well, the music gets the people in there. Well, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to go.
Yeah, the church is supposed to go to the world, not vice versa.
And I think, aren't we getting something backwards here?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we supposed to go?
Well, it's showing up in our churches.
And it...
In the carnality in the pew.
I think so, too.
Exactly. You know, pagans in the pews. A man wrote a book a couple of years ago called Pagans in the Pews. And I so agree with Brother Sammy. I have some of the same music background from Nashville. And, you know, it's so interesting when you stop and think about this. What is the focus? Man has become the focus. And my question is, where in the scriptures did God ever tell us to go to a pagan world and ask them how to do church? And in a sense, that's what the seeker-sensitive model is all about, is they're saying, we want church to be comfortable for the pagan. Well, that is never taught in the scripture. The gospel mm-hmm. is very uncomfortable mm-hmm. if you very, are lost. Yeah. And it's always going to be uncomfortable. Not that we are to be mean or angry or anything like that, but the gospel is always uncomfortable when you preach it as God gave it.
There is something that is very wrong when mature Christians who have walked with God for many years feel uncomfortable with something that is done in the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? I mean,
yes.
They may not be doing all the things they're supposed to be doing, but somehow their spirit does not bear witness with what is being told them. I'll give you a case in point. We're fortunate in our listening area, and those of you who listen know this, we're fortunate to have VCY, the radio station that is airing some of these yes. broadcasts. And Vic Eliason, who started the radio broadcast, has a real commitment to music. In fact, his father wrote a wonderful song that many of our listeners would be familiar with, and you can hear some wonderful music over the radio station. Well, Vic had a burden a number of years ago to do Singspirations, and the Singspirations were announced over the air, and he came to us and asked us if we would host some of those at Brookside, and we did, and he moved them to a broader area so more people could come. But mm-hmm. we had a number of those in our church, and it was fascinating. He brought his entourage with him, and it was just songs that you and I would sing yes. in church. I mean, we'd open – I mean, they're not new to us. You know, Amazing Grace and On a Hill Far Away. I mean, and he had just a wonderful way of taking an hour. It was almost like you were sitting in the living room, and he was at the piano with a fire going, and you were just singing. And he was giving you the stories of the hymns and the wonderful – and we would typically have anywhere from 150 to 200 people that would come on a Sunday night, start at 8 o'clock from all over. And I remember – it was either Vic or his right-hand man, Jim Schneider, who asked the people that were there, how many of you have sung these hymns in the last 3 to 4 years in your churches? And less than half of the hands went up.
Yes.
And I was shocked.
Sam, I'm seeing the same thing. And we had some folks visit our church the other week, and a lady came up to me, and she said, you know, Sam, and she said, I haven't sung these hymns in a long time.
Isn't that amazing?
I was shocked. I guess I'm not in that sphere or that circle where that's going on, but it was amazing to me. The hymns so full of doctrine and truth mm-hmm. that edify the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been replaced by what we call 7-11 choruses, seven words repeated 11 times.
And I don't think I've ever heard that before.
That's typically what it is, and they are shallow yeah. often. Not that all of them are.
And there are some that are meaningful.
Yeah, there are some great choruses and some great things, but so much of it has become Cain worship, is what I call it, because we are interested in how we feel and what we think, and we want to bring what we want to God rather than starting with God and what does he deserve.
And, you know, that's something, too, that I agree with you, and I've had young people say to me, well, this is Christian music. And I would say, my thought is, when you have to tell me it's Christian, why do you have to tell me it's Christian? I mean, why is it so indistinctively Christian that you have to qualify it by stating that it's Christian?
It's been a fascinating time, and let me encourage all of you who are listening, if you've heard some things today that have stirred your thinking, please take your Bible and get before the Lord and ask the Lord to show you what is going on in your heart. But until the next time that we meet together, may the Lord bless you.